Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a starting receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is here. It is Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay, September 21st, 2018. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your Friday afternoon. We've got a great hour of sports talk coming right your way. And I tell you what, time flies when you're having fun. I can't believe it's already Friday. And a few things we got to get to on today's Current Sports. First off, I want to give a big shout out to any Cleveland sports fans that may be watching right now. You got your first win in Cleveland Browns history. First win in more than 600 days. How about that? Baker Mayfield coming in the game late in that first half. Tyrod Taylor goes out, suffering a concussion. That's what it was being reported at the time. He underwent concussion protocol. And then you have Baker Mayfield, the number one overall draft pick here in 2018, come in, gives you 3 points going into the locker room, and then brings them all the way back for a Browns win and shuts the deal on the New York Jets. That was amazing. Watching that performance from Baker Mayfield, watching the city of Cleveland, Ohio, celebrate that yesterday and last night. Just amazing. So big shout out to all of the sports fans out in Cleveland. We'll talk about that Browns and Jets game. We'll have a brief recap of that matchup. Also, we'll get to a conversation that we teased on Thursday's Current Sports to close out the show, answering the question right now when you look at both the Michigan State football program and what Jim Harbaugh is doing out in Ann Arbor this season with the Michigan Wolverines. As of right now, on this Friday, September 21st, who has the better college football program? And I chose not to give my thoughts as a bit of a tease leading up to this discussion on today's Current Sports, but that didn't stop Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio from providing some really harsh criticism when it comes to both the Wolverines and the Spartans. All right? And I'm about to let the cat out the bag right now and give my thoughts on it. Just wait for that conversation, all right? We'll have that for you. Also, the Detroit Lions, the Honolulu Blue, will play host to the New England Patriots. Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest quarterback to ever do it, in my opinion. And they're mad. They're angry. The Patriots coming off a loss. This does not bode well for the Lions, in my estimation. We'll preview that matchup as well. And then on the back end of the show, we'll have one of my favorite guys on the air with me, my man Ira Childress, athletic director for Okemos High School, as a really cool event will be taking place just before the Okemos High School game tonight, high school football game tonight, as they have a new turf field. How cool is that? And got a pretty big donation from a donor. So right before kickoff between Grand Ledge and Okemos, they will have this ceremony, and we'll actually have one of our new reporters on the scene covering that moment. We'll also be sending out Current Sports Production Assistant Connor Mathis to get footage from that moment. So keep it locked to Facebook.com/WKAR News for that story. We'll have that posted I want to say around 9 p.m. late tonight, so you don't want to miss that. So we'll welcome Ira Childress to the show to talk about this pretty cool event that will be taking place at Okemos High School. And I want to note this as well. I'll be noting this for the next at least 5 days, right, as we have our WKAR fall fundraising campaign that has gotten off to a stellar start, courtesy of all of our great listeners who have contributed to news and coverage that matters, public broadcasting that matters here at WKAR. Much love to all of those who have donated thus far. And for those who haven't, again, it's our WKAR fall fundraising campaign that will take place until the 26th. Your donation to WKAR supports news, sports, and music that matters to you and inspires your community. All right, I want to let this be known. Last chance for the Public Radio Nerd Combo. If you make your gift before midnight, all right, with your sustaining gift of $20 a month or more before midnight, we'll throw in the Public Radio Nerd Mug, which is really cool. Also, again, even if just $5 works, all right, even just $5 a month, that goes a long way, folks. It really does. I will say this, though. If you donate $15 a month, so if you're not feeling that $20 a month and you still want to be entered to take away something, you know, $15 a month or more, we will send you the Public Radio Nerd T-shirt. All right? So great stuff. I mean, you can't go wrong there. And again, you know, I love this line. I use it all the time around the fundraising campaign. You know, we can't do what we do without you. All right. You are what makes this train roll every day at 1 p.m. And you have no idea how much I appreciate that support. You have no idea how all of us here at WKAR appreciates that support. And we all know here in 2018, I mean, I feel like the field of journalism is under attack. All right. And if you enjoy what we do and we try to do it fair and responsibly, bringing you news that matters, support that. Support what is important to you. So if WKAR is an important part of your life each and every day, let us know that. And again, even if it's just $5 a month, that goes a long way. All right. So multiple ways in which you can make that donation. You can call now at 855-724-9344. Again, 855-724-9344 is the number to call. Or you can, for all of you, I should say millennials or technologically savvy individuals out there, if you want to make that donation online, just simply go to WKAR.org and click the Give Now button there, and boom, you become a sustaining member of WKAR. All right, as I've been doing throughout this week, I have been introducing you to a few new faces, some new voices out there that will be joining us throughout the semester. Those of you longtime listeners of Current Sports know that we partner right here with the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. We partner with the Journalism 418 class, led by the stellar professor and journalist in Joanne Gerstner. And we have a group of students who become reporters and production assistants for us, helping out on the daily when it comes to the production of the show at 1 p.m. And also they have respective beats, and they're out there in the community, in the field, bringing real coverage to you all. All right. So I've been introducing since Wednesday two new names and two new faces that you'll be getting familiar with throughout the semester. You'll hear them on the air quite often. And we continue that trend today. Right now, I want to introduce to you all Michigan State students Denise Spann and Kyle Turk. Denise, Kyle, happy Friday. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you doing? You said get to Friday, but how are you doing? You're doing all right?
Great. Thank you so much for asking that, Kyle. I never get that back sometimes.
Had to.
I'm doing well, man. It's Friday. You know, the weekend is here. I'm excited to watch some sports all weekend. And what I want to do with you guys is I want you both to introduce yourself. Tell us, you know, where you're from, how that interest in sports reporting began, and also kind of talk about what you'll be covering throughout the semester, and in particular, that first story that I believe is due next week. So we'll start first with Denise.
So, like it was said, I'm Denise Spann. I'm actually a Michigan State track and field athlete here. When I first started reporting, I was in high school just doing regular track and field coverage, and it kind of grew to something more where I knew I wanted to take it to the next level. Coming here, I was inspired by Jamil Hill, and the journalism program is just so great here, so I knew it would be a great fit for me. I'm actually participating in the Okemos High School Beat, so I'll be covering all things Okemos athletics, and I'll be covering that $500,000 turf donation ceremony tonight.
Look at that. That's a tease, right? $500,000. I told you one of our new reporters will be out there. And yes, Denise is that reporter who will be at Okemos High School witnessing that new turf unveiling. I've seen a preview of it actually on social media, Denise, and it looks absolutely awesome.
Stellar. It's going to be in use for football, lacrosse, soccer, and even the marching band. It's going to really help out Okemos athletics in the district.
So real quick postscript question I have for you after that introduction. Denise, I think it's really intriguing whenever we have a Michigan State athlete who also wants to go into reporting. So with you, I mean, you said you were inspired by, you know, Jamil Hill. You know, when it comes to being an athlete and also being a reporter, how do you view things differently, you know, in relation to just the average Joe who's never played collegiately? I played in high school, but who's never played collegiately. You have to see the game from a different lens as far as from a reporting standpoint, don't you?
I believe I can see both sides of everything since I am an athlete. Like, you know, the behind-the-scenes struggle of kind of getting everything done, having to balance, like, so many different things. And then when after a game, say, like, you interview someone, it's like, there's still all these things going through their head. Like, I have homework to do. I'm really trying to get out of this locker room.
You can sympathize with that athlete.
Yeah, and I just know, like, it's kind of like I'll be able to relate to them. So I appreciate that aspect.
What's the dream? What's the goal? I feel like we all have big dreams and big goals when we come into this industry. Where do you see yourself 10, 15, 20 years down the line in this industry?
It kind of has changed for me since I've came to Michigan State. I see myself as a really heavy feature writer. I love telling other people's stories, and so I can see myself kind of doing a 30 for 30 aspect with video and writing.
Right.
And if not that, I could see myself being like a sports information director, but working it up to the associate athletic director in communication. So it can be a lot of things.
Awesome. Love that. Denise, welcome to the current sports team, all right? Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
And you guys have heard Kyle Turk's voice here on our airwaves, actually.
If you're a longtime listener, yeah.
If you're a longtime listener, yeah. I mean, you've joined us on the airwaves because, of course, Kyle, I believe you're still with Impact, too, right?
Still Impact. Currently the sports editor, but also covering the football team. I'll be down in Bloomington tomorrow night for that game.
Look at that. So we got, like, firsthand reporting here with Kyle. You'll be out there in Indiana for that night game. So, I mean, Kyle, you've been on the show before. So for those that don't know you, kind of give your background and how your interest peaked in this field as well.
I'm currently a senior here at MSU, graduating over in May. I hopefully, fingers crossed, know about that.
You will.
Of course. But yeah, been an Impact for, I think, going on almost about 3 years now, the radio station here on campus. That's been a great piece. I was originally a business major when I came here, but just my love for sports and then the journalism side of all of it, I've been involved with, I think, the TV side of things since about 4 or 5 years ago. So really just that journalism side just kind of spoke to me a little bit more, wanted to do something I was passionate about instead of doing something that was maybe financially motivated.
Was there a moment when it hit you like, all right, I'm done with this. I can't study business anymore. I want to just really dive into sports reporting. I feel like we all have kind of like a moment where it hits us like, all right, I know I don't want to do this anymore.
Everyone's all very, very nice. Don't get me wrong. You go anywhere in this university and there's going to be good people that are willing to help you out. But yeah, you speak to those people in the journalism courses and they're there to help you tell the stories that people are telling right now for a living. And I think that part of it just spoke to me a little bit more than crunching numbers all day.
I can preach on, brother. And I'm bad at math. That's part of the reason why I got into journalism as well. All right, Kyle, what will you be covering for us this semester?
I'll be in Williamson for this semester. So this weekend for this upcoming story, we'll be talking about the 1976 girls track team that just got inducted into the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, I think sometime over the summer, I think in late July.
Right.
So I'm going to follow up with them, see what their story is, and then also with the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, see what their kind of induction process is like, because not everybody gets involved in something like that.
That's awesome, Kyle. All right, for you, same question I have, you know, that I have for Denise, I have for you, Kyle. What is like that big picture dream, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the line? What do you want to do?
Although I'm at a radio station right now, the passion for me has always kind of been writing. So, I mean, I love college football. I'm really glad to have that opportunity this year to cover MSU football as I did last year. So maybe potentially working that into some sort of national college football writing job.
That's great stuff. Well, Kyle, Denise, glad to have you a part of the team, and we're looking forward to your content throughout the semester, all right? Okay.
Love it.
Thank you, guys. All right, let's now hit you all with our current sports quick hit headliners. Try to follow me here. I'm going to kind of go through this as quick as possible when it comes to your local slate of Week 5 high school football action. DeWitt at East Lansing, Everett at Holt, Flint Southwestern at Waverly, Grand Ledge at Okemos, Eastern at Fowlerville, Mason at St. John's, Hazlitt at Williamston, Ionia at Eaton Rapids, Charlotte at Sexton, Lansing Catholic at Portland, Olivet at Perry, Leslie at Stockbridge, Lakewood at Maple Valley, Dansville at Bath, Pawamo Westphalia at Langsburg, Fowler at Powderville, Fulton at Saranac, Ithaca at Saginaw Novell, Ovid Elsie at New Lothrop, Portland St. Pat at Bellevue, and Weberville at Cologne. That is your Week 5 slate of local high school football action. I'm particularly excited for tonight's DeWitt at East Lansing high school football game. That is going to be a really cool one. And also, it is homecoming for East Lansing. So for those attending that DeWitt at East Lansing game, get there early. And also, maybe want to bring an umbrella. I looked at the radar earlier today, and it may rain later on this evening here in mid-Michigan. So come prepared. All right. Michigan State women's soccer drew last night with Minnesota. Don't you just love ties in the world of sports? Don't you just sense the sarcasm when I say that? A nil-nil tie. Nothing for the Spartans and Golden Gophers. The Spartans were outshot by a narrow margin, but head coach Tom Saxton said he was still impressed by his team's offensive output. The contest moves Michigan State to 5-2-3 overall, 0-1-2 in Big Ten play. Minnesota now sits at 5-4-1 overall, 1-1-1 in the conference, despite no victory. Tom Saxton was impressed, again, with his team's performance and ability to bounce back after a tough loss at Indiana last Sunday. All right, Michigan State women's volleyball. MSU volleyball will begin their Big Ten play this weekend on the road against Iowa and Nebraska. Tonight's match against Iowa will stream live on BTN To Go and also flowvolleyball.com. MSU and Iowa meet for the 74th time tonight, with the Spartans looking for their 50th victory in the all-time series. MSU is 21-11 all-time in Iowa City and has won 15 consecutive matches over the Hawkeyes overall. MSU has won 12 straight games since that loss to Tennessee opening night. The winning streak is the longest win streak currently in the Big Ten, and it's MSU's longest streak since 2013, when the Spartans won 15 consecutive matches. But this is when things get really interesting when it comes to Big Ten women's volleyball, because as we all know, the Big Ten Conference is the creme de la creme of women's volleyball. I believe something crazy like, you know, 5 of the top 8 teams come from the Big Ten Conference. So wishing Kathy George and her squad luck this morning. All right, number 5, Michigan State men's soccer continues to dominate as they improve to 6-0-2 with a win over number 8 Notre Dame. The Spartans will be hosting Rutgers in their official Big Ten opener. Rutgers comes into the match with a 1-4-1 record. They are 0-1-0 in the Big Ten as they suffered a 2-0 loss against Michigan on September 14th to open conference play in 2018. The Spartans are 4-0-1 at home. I believe something crazy like Michigan State men's soccer has not lost at home in like two seasons. Insane to think about that, right? MSU is 17-0-4 during the regular season in the last 3 years. So 3 years, 17-0-4. MSU is the first, is first in the Big Ten in points scored with 60, averaging 8.57 points per game. Senior forward and the local product from East Lansing High School, DeJuan Jones, is also first in goals with 5 so far this season, while fellow senior forward Ryan Sierrakowski is tied for 3rd with 3. All right, y'all know this, just reiterating it. Number 24, Michigan State, opens up the Big Ten season at Indiana tomorrow night on the gridiron, 7:40 p.m. in Memorial Stadium. That game can be seen on the Big Ten Network. The Spartans sitting at 1-1, coming off their early Week 3 bye, while Indiana defeated Ball State at home 38-10 to improve to 3-0 for the first time in 3 years since 2015. Saturday's game marks the 65th meeting between Michigan State and Indiana. The Spartans lead the all-time series against the Hoosiers 46-16-2, including a 24-10-1 record in games played in Bloomington. More on that matchup later on. The other big game this weekend when it comes to in-state college football features Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines and the winless Nebraska Cornhuskers at the Big House. After a comfortable win over SMU last week, Michigan can start off their Big Ten season with a win over Scott Frost and the Cornhuskers, who lost last week at home to Troy. U of M is favored by 18 in this one and has a chance to make it 12 out of its last 13 Big Ten openers. Kickoff scheduled for noon can be seen on Fox Sports 1. The Detroit Red Wings off to a 2-0 start in the preseason after beating the Chicago Blackhawks last night, a score of 4-2. Four different players score for Detroit in Henrik Zetterberg's absence, including Gustav Nyquist. Two goalies for Detroit combined for 21 saves. The Wings will stay at home for a matchup with the Boston Bruins tomorrow night at 7 p.m. That game will not be televised. 9 runs in the first 2 innings were enough for the Detroit Tigers to come out on top against the Kansas City Royals last night, 11-8, the final in Comerica Park. Pretty high scoring, right? And the 4-game set with KC continues this weekend. Francisco Laureano on the hill tonight for the Tigers. First pitch at 7:10 p.m. And my man, Tiger Woods, what a day did he have in round 1. Did not want to jinx him, though, so I did not post about this, did not talk about this. I just took it in and watched it. Tiger had a great round 1. He really did. The last event of the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, being held this weekend outside of Atlanta. Ricky Fowler and Tiger both shot 5-under yesterday to lead the field by a shot heading into the second round today. Now, if Tiger wins the tourney, he has an outside chance at the FedEx Cup title and the $15 million that will come with it. He tees off right after I get off the airwaves today, so I'm going to be sprinting to my office. Tiger tees off at 2 p.m., and that coverage can be found on NBC and the Golf Channel. That wraps up your current sports quick hits headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Weigh in on that live stream. You can comment below that video, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
It will be Baker Mayfield's debut as Taylor's being led off the field. Heisman Trophy winner, former walk-on, finds Landry. 14 yards and a first down with a minute and a half to go and one timeout.
Here he goes. He's great at the line of scrimmage. He knows this offense. This is when he's at his best and playing up tempo.
Mayfield fires. Pass is caught at the 35 by Njoku. Good catch.
Better into a third round pick. The Saints. Here's a nice throw and catch. And a first down, but the ball is out. Anderson made the catch, and Denzel Ward, the rookie, takes it inside the 10. Just took it right out of his arms.
Good pick in the fourth round.
Here's one. It is caught by Landry to the one. What a catch.
This is unbelievable. First of all, the throw is the only place it can be. But that is not an easy catch, especially so frequently.
Sets up first and goal from the one. High, trying to take it in, and he does. Touchdown, Browns. Njoku comes in tight in this formation.
Looks like pressure off the edge.
Little trick play, and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game from Jarvis Landry.
Is that Cleveland? What are we calling that one? Bit with Antonio Callaway.
Mayfield over the middle. Pass is caught. Big hit. Landry survived the hit from Middleton. Third and short.
What's that?
Hand off. High. Touchdown. Not reviewed. It would have to be called for from the booth inside of 2 minutes. Pass picked. Joe Schobert.
Everything's going to get funneled to the middle.
Darnold tripped up. And we'll see what they call. The ball came on second down and 12. Darnold airs it out. Downfield pass is picked by Mitchell. Browns are going to win.
Absolutely awesome. Big shout out to Connor Mathis behind the glass for chopping that up. The city of Cleveland, you deserve to revel in this moment right now. It has been an almost 2-year drought. It's been more than 600 days since you have been able to celebrate a Cleveland Browns victory. And that drought ended last night. It was really cool watching the visuals from Cleveland, Ohio, fans spilling out of the stadium. Going crazy. You deserve that. And, you know, what really was cool to watch was the Bud Light coolers that were scattered around the Cleveland metropolitan area. For those that don't know, Bud Light partnered with the NFL and the Cleveland Browns, and they had this campaign going that they would place these different fridges around the city of Cleveland with locks on them, with chains. And the only way that Cleveland Brown fans will be able to enjoy the Bud Light beer inside of those fridges for free would not be until the Browns delivered a win. So the chains came off of those fridges. I actually, if you want to see the visual of this, just go to my Twitter page at Al Martin WKAR. Retweeted a few reporters and also the Bud Light official promotion when Cleveland won. You can check out the video of a few moments of Cleveland Brown fans just going crazy at respective bars, and you have the bartender just kind of sitting there saying, "All right, don't be selfish now." And the chain comes off, and then people just lose their minds over the free beer. Because it's not just about the free beer. It's about what it symbolizes. I mean, you finally got a win. And in the fashion that Cleveland, that the Browns got this win is what's so fascinating to me. You know, and before I move forward, too, you know, I didn't catch the game until about, you know, I caught most of the game. I didn't tune in until about the second quarter because I was emceeing last night's event from Todd, formerly known as T.J. Duckett, one of the greatest running backs in Michigan State football history, who is now a philanthropist with an organization that he has founded called New World Flood. They had Todd had his charity's second annual New World Flood Raindrop Gala last night at the Eli and Edith Broad Museum, and I had the pleasure of rocking the mic for that event. It was so fun. There was a silent auction, and then they went into a live auction. So many of you here in the community came out to support Todd. And I tell you what, New World Flood doing some awesome things. And actually, I'm not even going to front with you. When Todd went up there and told his story of perseverance and, you know, recounted his time at Michigan State to his time playing with the Seattle Seahawks, and then, you know, having a moment, you know, where he's at the City of Lansing Rescue Mission, you know, writing numbers on macaroni and cheese boxes, you know, he breaks down crying. I mean, I got a bit emotional listening to Todd and hearing of his story. And I've heard his story before multiple times. Todd and I, that's my guy. But, you know, I never heard it in detail like that last night. And, you know, it's amazing what Todd is doing. I mean, the backpacks that he provides to underprivileged youth every single year, the amount of holiday meals that his organization provides to less fortunate families who can't enjoy a meal during the holidays. I mean, it just a great cause was supported last night. And I'm looking forward to having Todd on the show, hopefully sometime next week, to talk about that event and also how you can get involved with the raindrop movement. All right, flooding the world with some positive energy, which is so needed here in 2018. But so after I emceed that gala, and much thanks to everybody who invited me out, you know, Nicole, Lauren, Amber, Todd, DA, you guys know who you are. Thank you so much. I had a blast. So I'm driving home, and I tune in, and right when I tuned in, it was right when Tyrod Taylor had went down with an injury, and he goes to the sidelines, and he goes to the tent, and anytime you see a player go to the tent, that's an indication that it's a head injury and that player is going through some kind of concussion protocol. And then you saw Tyrod Taylor walk to the locker room, and Hugh Jackson pulls the trigger and says, it's your time, Bake. And Baker goes out there. Baker Mayfield, the number one overall draft pick in this year's NFL draft, goes out there. And I don't know if it's you, but this is what I saw, all right? When I saw Tyrod go out for, like, that last drive, it just seemed like, you know, the Browns had no life. You know, that offensive line not really blocking or giving Tyrod any kind of time. And when Baker comes in, it was almost like the player said, all right, now it's time to play. I don't know how fair that was for Tyrod Taylor. I don't know. I'm sure Tyrod Taylor is feeling he has to. You know, you at the end of the day, you want to be a good teammate. I'm sure he was rooting for Baker Mayfield, and he's ecstatic that Cleveland did get that win last night, the first time in a long time, right? But if you're Tyrod Taylor, you got to be feeling some type of way, right? I mean, you were a starter in that game. You were named starter before the season. You're a pretty good player. I think Tyrod Taylor is pretty solid. And, you know, you go out that way, and the city just embraces Baker Mayfield and goes crazy over him. He's leading headlines from here to Pluto. And now what happens to the career of Tyrod Taylor? You know, I kind of felt for him last night. But with that being said, I mean, you don't draft a quarterback number one overall for that quarterback to sit on the bench and collect dust. Okay? We all knew that this day was going to come. It was not a matter of if. It was a matter of when. And last night, Baker Mayfield got his opportunity. And throughout the entire week and throughout, you know, the preliminary stages of this season, you know, Baker Mayfield has not taken first-team reps. And that's what's so remarkable about this. His experience with that first team is very, very limited. And Hugh Jackson made note after the game that, you know, he talks with Baker all the time. They have meetings throughout the week, and he you know, just kind of picks Baker's brain. Like, look, you're going to get your opportunity. It's going to come. And when it comes, you know, you have to know how to respond to that opportunity. And Baker came in, and I loved it. You know, Baker came in, you know, amped up, ready. He was even talking some trash here and there. And, man, does he have an arm or what? Baker Mayfield can really, really put that ball on a rope. He was amazing. I can't remember a bad throw that he had. If anything, it was the receivers. You know, Jarvis Landry had one right between the numbers. Didn't catch it. You know, Antonio Callaway, same thing with him. You know, on the left sideline, it just falls out of his hands. But Baker put the ball where it needed to be, especially on that one Jarvis Landry catch where it was a little high, but that was the only place where Baker Mayfield could put that football. Jarvis snagged it in the air and came down right on the one-yard line. And then you had the Philly special. As you just heard in that highlight montage, the Browns pulled off the Philly special last night. You know, the stars aligned. The stars aligned for Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns last night. And I don't know how you cannot start Baker Mayfield from here on out. I don't know what the official diagnosis of Tyrod Taylor was last night and is this morning, leading throughout the rest of the week. But, you know, I don't know how a week from Sunday you can't start Baker Mayfield. I just don't get that. And, you know, Hugh Jackson, I think he could have worded this better. I love Hugh Jackson. I've become a fan of Hugh Jackson after watching him on HBO's Hard Knocks. You know, I watching how he runs his organization. He's a great football mind. I love how he relates to his players, but he's also fair and firm without having to lose his mind and flip his wig and go off on you. I like his coaching style. I've grown a respect for Hugh Jackson after watching him on HBO's Hard Knocks, and I really think the nation has kind of fallen in love with the Cleveland Browns after watching HBO's Hard Knocks. I mean, you know, seeing the personalities that you saw in that show kind of play out throughout this season, it's really cool, actually. And, you know, some teams don't want that attention. You know, some teams like being in that little bubble and just going to work and not having to deal with those cameras and that limelight. But for the Browns, what do you got to lose, right? I mean, you didn't win a game last season. You know, you hadn't won a game prior to last night. In 600 plus days, what do you got to lose? Sure, HBO, come on in. We need all the positive press that we can get right now. But, you know, I think the nation has fallen in love with this team. But I will say this, Hugh Jackson could have worded this better last night. Again, reveling in that win on Thursday night, you know, the first victory since Christmas Eve of 2016. My goodness. Christmas Eve of 2016. First win since then for the Cleveland Browns. Hugh Jackson was asked about the starting quarterback position and whether or not that's going to be Baker's now against the Oakland Raiders. And Jackson could have deferred and said, well, you know, I don't want to get into that right now. I just want to celebrate this win and keep it pushing from there. You know, I'm not going to address that right now. But instead, Hugh said, quote, I'd like to watch the tape. I'd like to watch the tape. I mean, Hugh, you are 2-32-1 as Cleveland's head coach. Watch the tape. You only got one other tape that had a win in your coaching tenure. When it comes down to it, you know, this game shows the Browns winning. And how did the Browns win, you ask? Well, in addition, and I don't want to shortchange that Cleveland Browns defense. That Cleveland Browns defense helped tremendously, and they have been pretty good this year. I'm impressed with that Cleveland Browns defense. But in addition to that, I mean, Baker Mayfield came in and won that game for you. He provided a jolt into that offense when it did not have any life whatsoever. So when you look at the tape, Hugh, I don't know how you look at that tape and say, but Tyrod did some good things. And if he had more time in the pocket, he could have had a pretty good game in this one. No. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, the regular season debut of Baker Mayfield went so well. Nothing seemed to break there, Hugh. I don't know how you can go with anybody else. So we'll see how this thing plays out. But City of Cleveland, shout out to you. Celebrate this win. Drink responsibly. If you indulged in that free Bud Light All right. But you deserve this, and it's good to see the city of Cleveland get a chance to celebrate some kind of victory from the Cleveland Browns organization. All right, real briefly here. Before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, we asked this question on yesterday's Current Sports. Which college football team is better right now? Is it Michigan State or is it Michigan? So we closed out the show as yesterday as a bit of a tease with this topic. And, you know, before giving my take, which I'll do in just a moment here, I asked and went behind the glass and asked both Jack and Alec their thoughts on this. And here is how the conversation played out.
They both stink.
You think they both stink? That's a strong word, Jack. Stink?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is a strong word. Here's the thing. I think that game is honestly, the game between Michigan and Michigan State this year could honestly be a swing where one team finishes 9-3 and the other one finishes 7-5. But through two games for the Spartans and three for the Wolverines, I don't have high expectations for either team, and I don't expect either of them to contend with Penn State or Ohio State in the Big Ten East.
You don't think it's too early to say that? That's a strong statement.
No, not really. I mean, same issues that we've seen the last few years from the Michigan State Spartans, as well as the Michigan Wolverines. I mean, Michigan was supposed to have a revamped offense this year. It looks like the same offense as last year, except it's out of the shotgun now.
Okay. Tell us how you really feel. All right, Jack, Alec, real quick here, as we have a minute left, who's the better team between Michigan State and Michigan? And do you think that both teams stink like Jack?
I don't think that's a very out of the park thing to say because, I mean,
wow,
it's not that, it's not that
really harsh today. That's interesting. Okay.
I mean, I'm not really liking what I'm seeing out of MSU's defense. And to be quite frank, I don't see us beating Ohio State, U of M, and most of our other Big Ten matchups, to be quite honest.
Ohio State, I'm with you on that. Yeah. I mean, it's Ohio State and then everybody else. But Michigan, I really want to eat this meal right now. I can't. I'm going to get to it on tomorrow's Current Sports. Some strong thoughts from you both. Wow. Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio. Very strong thoughts when it comes to how the year is going. And this is the thing. I wanted to play that because I think it's a window into how reactionary we can be in the sports world. Just how we just are so quick. I mean, we're talking about, what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks for U of M, but 2 weeks for Michigan State. And they stink. Jack, I know, what I love about Jack, you know, and Alec, all three of our RPAs, Connor as well, is that they're honest. They keep it real and they speak, you know, their mind. And that's what we want here on Current Sports. I want you to be honest and unfiltered. I love that. But, you know, I just think that in 2018, sometimes we are way too amplified. And Michigan State, we haven't seen Michigan State now, you know, going on 2 weeks. They had that early week three bye. And when it comes to me, I have been, you know, doing this thing since I was a junior at Michigan State University with my very first internship. And I have seen some complete turnarounds. All right. And the fact that Michigan State is just 1-1 on the year, have not played that third game, I am not going to sit here on Current Sports and say that Michigan State football completely stinks. Sure, have they had some problems that you know, that were that carried over from that Utah State squeak out victory and shown light again in that Arizona State loss? Sure. But to go as far to say that Michigan State stinks, Jack, I think that was a bit harsh. That was a bit harsh. Now, I want to ask this question, too, because real quick, Connor, you just heard this. You have not, you didn't tune into yesterday's show. You haven't been here. You're here every Friday engineering the show. Connor, your reaction to what Jack and Alec had to say there, because Alec backed them up, too. I'm not letting Alec off the hill. He said, yeah, I don't think that's too far of a stretch there. What do you think, Connor?
I'm gonna borrow a line from Aaron Rodgers and just say, relax.
I'm with you.
We are two games in. It is one loss. It is not the end of the world. There are things that this team needs to fix for sure, but they stink. My expectation going into this season was it would be a disappointment if this team didn't win 10 games, and I still don't think that's unfeasible for this team. You have your two arch rivals at home this year. Again, really the only challenge I foresee, like, in terms of road teams, is Penn State, which, again, makes sense to be a little bit nervous about Penn State. They are a loaded offense.
Yeah.
But, like, in the beginning of the year, I thought Nebraska would be a trap game. After seeing three games in Nebraska, I no longer have a fear of Nebraska.
Michigan's going to roll tomorrow. I don't know how much they're giving Michigan. I have to look that up, but I think Michigan is highly favored.
Yeah, but I mean, my two things. I think Michigan State still looks decent this year. I think my only area of concerns with teams that they're going to be taking on this year is Ohio State, obviously, because everyone in the Big Ten who faces Ohio State needs to be nervous to some degree.
Yeah,
I mean, they are a very good team, and then Penn State because it's on the road. So I mean, I would say relax to people who are flipping out over this. I think they'll bounce back.
It's crazy to me. It's nuts. And then people, you know, even just looking at social media, people are like, right now, LJ Scott is like public enemy number one. I mean, I go on I love doing this. You know, when I have an interesting topic like this, I love hopping on social media and just kind of, you know, placing my finger on the pulse of a respective fan base. And in this case, of course, putting my finger on the pulse of Michigan State. And, you know, looking at that, I said, are you kidding me? This is two games. Pump the brakes. Chill out, Spartan fans. And, you know, I want to get a follow-up for Jack and Allie. They both came in like the mob just now here in Studio S. They just opened the door.
Unreal.
Like, Al,
unreal.
We're going to handle you after this show. Like, my good. And we'll get them on in just a second. But, you know, when you really dive into the numbers here, again, we're talking about two games. And real quick preview when it comes to Indiana here. Indiana is 3-0. I didn't know this. Michigan State defense that, by the way, I thought played well against Arizona State. Again, before that game, if you would have told me that Arizona State was only going to put up 16 points, I'm taking Michigan State all day to win that game. Michigan State right now ranks number one nationally when it comes to stopping the run. They are allowing just 34.5 yards per game, which I had no idea. Now, it's going to be interesting because you look at true freshie Stevie Scott running the football. And Stevie Scott, that's a name you want to get familiar with, possibly, come tomorrow night. Because Stevie Scott, I mean, you know, right now he's 6'2", 236 pounds. He earned back-to-back Big Ten Freshman of the Week honors, becoming the youngest Hoosier running back to post consecutive 100-plus yard games. He ran 31 times for 204 yards and a touchdown against Virginia. Then had 18 carries against Ball State for 114 yards and two more touchdowns. Michigan State, though, again, ranks number one in the nation when it comes to run defense. Stink? No, I'm not going that far. And it all depends on what your expectations are. You know, that's a good point that I want to make as well. And again, you just stated, Connor, you think this is going to be a 10-win team, right?
My expectations going this year was it would be a disappointment if they didn't win 10 games. I still think that I thought beginning of the year they had a possibility of going over that, but
right.
I thought 10 wins was a reasonable expectation to have for this team.
Jack and Alec, I follow up by playing that snippet of both of you agreeing that Michigan State stinks collectively. What are your expectations? What were your expectations coming into this year, Jack?
Well, looking at last year, a bunch of first and second year players, primarily for the Spartans after the 3-9 disaster from 2016, they were able to win 10 games. And for me, okay, if you want to say it's a little harsh for me to say that they stink, that's fine. But I mean, you just brought up expectation. My expectation for this team was an improvement from last year. And even to Connor's point, if they manage to win 10 games, that's not an improvement from last year. And seeing this team through 2 weeks, I'm seeing a lot of the problems I've seen the last few years with play
calling.
Those
problems being play calling offensive line.
Yep, offensive line, inability to run the ball. So that kind of goes with
right,
offensive
that's
line.
Hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they shore up that, Jack, this thing could turn around. Just saying. It's just
sure.
The offensive line right now. Well, I think if LJ Scott, if you don't have any holes to run through, what do you expect LJ Scott to do, right? And same thing with Brian Lewerke when it comes to his production. Now, again, Brian has made some bad passes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go back to that pick six that happened against Utah State, right? That was just a bad throw. But Brian Lewerke is still among one of the league's best quarterbacks. I'm just saying, can we pump the brakes a bit?
Well, hang on. I mean, when I say that I think this team stinks, this team to me looks like an 8-4 team right now. And I hope I'm wrong, but losing to Arizona State, I had that game earmarked as a win coming into this season. Mm. Herm Edwards hasn't coached for 10 years. There's
and
no
Arizona
excuse.
State in there, week two did yeah. lose to San Diego State, so that doesn't help
There's
Michigan
no
State's
excuse
game.
To lose to that Arizona State team if you're the Spartans.
Nope. 9-0 Arizona State 9-0.
What does that
when it
have
comes
to
Big Ten
opposition? What does that have
to do with that game? I think when you look at it, I'm just saying, you look at some factors here. I mean, I think that 3-hour time difference, the heat, a lot of people want to downplay that. I think that played a factor in that game
fair,
as well.
But both teams played in it.
Well, Arizona State lives in it. Oh. Alan, your thoughts on it. I wish we could debate that. Just one of those times. I got to have a 3-hour show right now. Alec.
Okay, so I was just saying, both of the QBs in Utah State's Jordan Love and ASU's Manny Wilkins, they both went off for like 350-plus yards. And there, our secondary and like our safety core just wasn't getting the job done for either of the games, and we were very undisciplined. We had around 9 penalties. Or it was 9 penalties at ASU, and somewhere like 8 penalties for Utah State.
Yeah.
We were very undisciplined, and if we don't turn that around and we don't get our O-line in shape, then I just don't see how we can win out close games like Indiana. I know Indiana is going to be a close game. Penn State, I'm kind of worried about. Ohio State, I'm worried about. U of M, I'm worried about, because that's a toss-up too.
You say it's a toss-up between Michigan State and U of M. Okay, so answer the question. We haven't answered the question here. Real quick, because we got to get to Ira too. Do we have Ira on the phone right now? We do. Ira is waiting, and I want him to kind of pub what is happening tonight at Okemos High School. Real quick, who's the better football team right now? And a quick prediction on Michigan State and Indiana. Alec?
Quick prediction with MSU Indiana. I think that we will barely squeak out with a win by 3.
Michigan State wins by 3, so they don't cover. Michigan State is a 5.5-point favorite right now. Okay, so Michigan State doesn't cover, but they win.
But they win, yep.
And you already kind of said, answered the question, you think U of M is the better football team right now.
No, I'm saying it's more of a toss-up because I like Michigan State's offense more than U of M's, but I like U of M's defense more than I like MSU's defense.
Jack?
I guess State will cover a 5-point spread. Yeah, I'll have them winning by 7-10. As far as the Michigan-Michigan State game, I'll give MSU the edge in that game. I'll say they're the better team just because D'Antonio's kind of built up that stock in my mind that even if State doesn't look impressive to start the year off, I still think they'll show up against Michigan, and I do still think State will win that game.
Connor?
I would have to take Michigan State over Indiana by at least 10 points. I don't think the Hoosiers are really going to contain the Michigan State offense. And I'm going to go with Michigan State is still better than U of M purely because I think U of M is still very inconsistent on offense.
I'm going with MSU in this conversation as well when it comes to the comparison between. I just think this whole, again, talk to me when Michigan has beaten somebody, okay? They have not played anybody. And the team that they played, they lost to, right, in Notre Dame. So we'll see what they're really made of when they play somebody on that schedule. And when it comes to Michigan State and Indiana, I think it's going to be close. I think I'm going with you, Alec. I think Michigan State by 3. I don't think they'll cover. I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this game. Hopefully I'm wrong come Monday. All right, let's go to our phone line right now. As we have just 5 minutes left, I want them to quickly pub the event tonight at Okemos High School. Current Sports will be in the building. Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director. Ira, tell us a bit about what's happening tonight.
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. We're going to be kicking off our new turf. We feel like it's the best in the state. We're really excited. We have a big crowd here tonight. It's Faculty Appreciation Night, and we're gonna kick off the new turf, and then we have a dedication ceremony at 6:45, and game time is 7 p.m.
That is awesome. Ira, how did all this come about? I know that the Graywall family are the donors of this, right?
Yeah. Great, generous donation by the Graywall family, and we can't thank them enough. Mick Graywall and I had a conversation 3 years ago about this, and we've been kind of staying in touch ever since then, and here we are 3 years later, where it's coming to fruition. So we're really excited about it.
What makes this turf special, Ira?
Well, it makes it special because it's going to impact our students and student athletes. You know, we talk about athletics, but the most excited group is our band, because they're going to get a chance to perform on this turf. They get a chance to practice on this turf. They weren't practicing in the stadium before, and now they're going to get a chance to practice in there every other night. So that's going to be a great thing for them. Obviously, it's going to impact our football program, our lacrosse program, and soccer is going to play on there tomorrow as well. So anytime you're in Michigan, you know, Al, the weather can get ugly really quickly. Mm-hmm. And so wear and tear on your fields, even we have a good maintenance staff, but it's still, you know, the grounds crew still can't keep up with it sometimes with all the wear and tear. So when you have a great artificial turf like we have, it really, really helps you. And then also you get a chance to host MHSAA events as well. So we couldn't be more excited.
That is awesome. And then, Ira, is it artificial or is it real grass?
It's artificial. Yeah, it's artificial. It's synthetic turf and field turf, the new stuff. It feels like real grass. I was out there yesterday, and I felt like grabbing a sleeping bag and sleeping on the field, you know?
That's great. And, you know, I saw some preview photos. I think Deborah Guthrie of Home TV, she tweeted out a picture or Instagrammed a photo of her kind of jumping on it. It looks awesome. And you guys will have a ribbon cutting ceremony around 6:45, and also remarks from those special donors, the Graywall family, right, Ira?
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully, I think Current Sports going to be there tonight.
Yes.
I have a camera there. So
we will have a camera there. We also have a reporter in Denise Spann who will be covering the event, and we will have that on our website and everything. It's going to be awesome.
So if Current Sports is there, I know it's going to be big.
You got it. You got it, Ira. And real quick, you know, as we come up to the close of the show, you know what I love about your social media post, Ira, is that, you know, you're all about inspiring and motivating your followers. And yeah, that is something that is so refreshing, because so often I scroll on my Instagram, and maybe I need to start unfollowing a few of these jokers, but it can be so negative, such a negative space sometimes. But you're always posting inspiring messages. Just Ira, real quick here, you know, why do you feel the need to you know, post those kind of inspiring messages? And where does that positive mindset come from when it comes to your background?
Yeah, the positive mindset comes from my mom. She always said, you know what, whatever the situation is, being negative about it is not going to help it. So just have a positive outlook. I've always had a positive outlook since I was a kid. And so I carry that on. And the reason why I post all those positive messages is because you hit it on the head, Al, that there's a lot of negativity in this world, you know. And and I've gotten some text messages, and people have inboxed me and said, man, I needed that today. And you never know who's out there needing something to be lifted up or needing to be lifted up by a message. And so I always try to post positive messages just in case there's somebody out there that really, really needed that on that day, if that makes sense.
Without a doubt. And Ira, I know I can recall one time when I was scheduled to go work out. And I'm just kind of just like, man, I'm tired. And I went on Instagram and I'm scrolling, and I see one of your messages. I'm like, all right, let me get my butt up and work my tail off like Ira Childress. All right? So Ira is making an impact, and thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Al. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Again, Ira Childress, Okemos High School Athletic Director. Again, a ribbon-cutting unveiling of the new turf athletic field at Okemos Stadium at Okemos High School, happening at 6:45 p.m., courtesy of the Graywall family donation. Oh, boy. We'll have Denise Spann there. Connor Mathis will be shooting that event. We'll have that video later on tonight on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, right before kickoff between Grand Ledge and the Okemos Chiefs. All right. What a show, right? Great weekend in store. Just real quick, I have a bold prediction. Tiger Woods is going to win. He's going to win. Jack is hating. I knew Jack was going to pop up like a little gopher behind the glass. Tiger Woods is going to get his first win in 5 years this weekend, Jack. That's my bold prediction of the weekend.
Put some lunch on it?
Yeah, let's put lunch on it. Let's put whatever
Hell
you
yes.
like, steak. You can go five-star. I'm that confident. You can pick a five-star restaurant. All right, brother? Let's do that. And also, the Lions are going to lose. You think?
Yep, 100%. Yeah, there's no chance.
There's no chance. The Lions stink. Now, that's a team that does stink, okay? The Lions stink. All right, folks. We'll see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.